Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Good morning again, everyone. So exciting to be here. So exciting to have all of you here. And for those of you joining online, we welcome you here. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. And certainly we want to mention that just as being prayed this morning, that if someone is here today or you're watching online and in your situation is just, if we would just be real, this is a difficult day. That today is challenging because of the motherhood you've longed to have but haven't had, because of perhaps a lost mother or a mother or grandmother that's went on home to be with the Lord, or perhaps even if today is a reminder of a broken relationship with a mother that you once had or that you've never had. We pray today that today wouldn't make much of that brokenness, but today would be a day where we make much of our God who invites us to trust Him and to know Him and to find all that we are and all that we're becoming in this walk of faith with Him. And so we pray that this time is encouraging and inspiring to you wherever you are. We're in message number 4 in this series, Equipped to Walk by Faith. We have made it to chapter 11 of Hebrews. So please, if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. And so as you turn there, I want to ask you to think about times in life whenever you might say, you know what, that just doesn't make sense to me. There's things that make sense, but some things just don't make sense. Maybe for many of us, you would remember that time in maybe 6th or 7th grade when suddenly the alphabet collided with math. And you found yourself just scratching your head, and you walked in one day, and on the whiteboard, the equation said A or X to the second power plus 5 equals 54. What's X? And you're like, huh? And that kid in the room just raised his hand or her hand, and he said, well, subtract 5 from both sides and then take the square root, and that'll cancel out the exponent, and so X is 7. And you're like, really? And he or she's like, that just makes sense. That's what you do to solve the equation. And to you, maybe it didn't make sense, but later on it made sense, and maybe it never made sense. And maybe for some of you as mothers, see some hands. For some of you as mothers, maybe your children or your kiddos have brought home homework in the past several weeks, and you're like, this just doesn't make sense. I can't even help. And maybe for some of you, this idea brings back memories of when you first became a mother and you came home and you just couldn't understand, why will my baby not sleep? Why is my baby crying all the time? This just doesn't make sense. Maybe in that first month you found yourself changing a diaper and you looked at it and you're like, this came out of that. How this doesn't even make sense. How is this even possible? And so we learned and we grew and we adapted. And maybe for some of you, you're really, today is kind of a day where you're scratching your head and you're looking at your child and you're like, you're a teenager. You're driving. You're going to graduate. You're working. You're getting married. And you're thinking, this doesn't make sense. Where did the time go? How did this happen? But if we could talk to your child would say, it makes perfect sense to me. It's taken me a lifetime to get here. And so I don't know what you're talking about, but I've been looking for this forever. And so we would agree there are things in life that make sense to some and don't make sense to others. But when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to the gospel, and when it comes to this idea of walking by faith, God wants us as a church and as a people to make sense, because Hebrews began in chapter 1 by saying God spoke to us through His Son Jesus. Jesus came to make sense of a misunderstood God, so that we could live clear of confusion and doubts and worries. And so as the book of Hebrew introduced this idea of God speaking to us through His Son, and Ben did that sermon 3 weeks ago, I want you to think about someone else who listened to Jesus speak and then took what Jesus said and said, let me just make sense of this so simply. I want you to think of something that we mention often about John the Baptist. John the Baptist in John chapter 3 said, let me just take what Jesus said and make it in and put it really clearly. He whom God has sent speaks the words of God. Just like Hebrews 1 says, he speaks, the Son has spoken. For God doesn't give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. And then John says this. John the Baptist says, let me just make this as clear as can be. The one who has faith or believes the Son has everlasting life. Present tense. It happens in the moment. But the one who doesn't believe or chooses to respond to the Son but doesn't have faith, that's the one that will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. I mean, John the Baptist said this before he died, before he was beheaded, because of his faith in following Jesus. He really couldn't have made it much more clear. And I just want you to see the consistency with what, with how Hebrews chapter 1 began, and someone else who walked with Jesus and listened to Jesus speak, they said this: faith in Jesus was never meant to be confused. And of course, we know the whole picture. That faith is in his death on the cross, paying for our sins, his burial, and his bodily resurrection from the dead, proving he and he alone can give life everlasting, because he went to death and came back to life and said, look, I did it. I did what I said. And so here's what John the Baptist would agree on. Here's what the author of Hebrews would agree upon, because here's something we as a church should always agree about, because it's something that Jesus never said. He never said, have faith in me for everlasting life, but don't have faith in me for how to live your life. And when we step back as a church and just think of this, it wouldn't make any sense, would it? And so depending on your background or your church experience or your experience with the Bible growing up, this is something that could easily be missed. It could easily be misunderstood. It could easily be something that was confused and mistaught. And sometimes as a church, people actually think that this is what we're teaching, which is not true at all. And so what does make sense is that Jesus prepared people to trust him and trust the gospel message. And all along the way, he was getting people ready to follow him. In fact, he was always inviting people to follow him. And so a few weeks when we celebrated Easter, we looked and we saw the early church immediately began to put their faith into practice. They immediately got to work in doing what God said to do. And so this is really fun. If you're new to the church, or if you're joining online and this is happening every week and it's really fun, we would want you to know our aim as a church is to make disciples who love and live like Jesus. And what we mean by that is a simple response to what the resurrected Jesus said to do. Go and give everyone the gospel, but be clear. Be very clear about that decision of faith. And then let new believers know, as a church, we take your life so serious. Your life as a new believer, young or old, rich or poor, it doesn't matter, is our investment. It's our lifelong investment to help all people grow in the faith and learn to love and live like Jesus. And when we say that as our church's aim, what we're not saying is that we've arrived as a church. What we're saying is, all together as one body, we're in this walk of faith together, and we assist and encourage each other all along the way, and we're having a blast. So when you step into Hebrews chapter 10, this is what the Holy Spirit is doing as he sets up chapter 11. In chapter 10, verse 22, we saw this picture that the atmosphere of the church is intended by God to cultivate an environment where people become sure of their faith, so they're strengthened to walk by faith. And if they're confused on their decision of faith, they'll be misled and misguided in how to walk by faith. And so last week, when Ethan stepped into that very difficult passage, you remember that first paragraph, verses like 26 through 31? That paragraph was this huge warning from the author of Hebrews, and really from the Holy Spirit, to say this: it would make no sense to trust Jesus for everlasting life, but to turn and walk away from the faith and to really say, you know what, I know what's best for my life. I'm going to heaven. I'll figure this out on my own, but I don't really need God anymore. I've got that fire insurance. And so the passage was meant to startle the readers. It was meant to grab the attention of the person who maybe is kind of wandering through life. And maybe some of you have memories of your mom waking you up saying, look, the school bus is going to be here in 10 minutes. And you jolted out of bed and you threw your clothes on and you went to school with bedhead. And so maybe you remember that. Maybe some of you can remember that look on your mom's face. You know, mom said do this and mom said do this. But when mom put that look on her face, you knew mama means business. Don't play around no more. And that's what the text was doing last week. And Ethan captured that so good to really say, God doesn't want us to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. And so then the text bridged into this really awesome paragraph. Verses 32 through 39 set us up for today. And those verses really said what God wants to do is celebrate the one who walks by faith. Rejoice in the day of when our faith becomes sight. And that is the beauty of where we're at this morning. But I want to remind you, when you look at that previous paragraph and you look at that picture of standing before God and celebrating and being rewarded, or standing before God and God saying, man, you really just trampled on the Son, you trampled on His blood, you trampled on grace, we would all really agree. Faith just makes sense. Living by faith, of course I want this one and not this one. Living by faith just makes sense. So if you can imagine that picture that Ethan put up on the screen last week, it was a picture of him on top of Huckleberry Knob. And he said how you could turn 360 degrees and you could see every direction for miles. It was amazing. Do you remember what he said? Him and Sarah looked down at the valley below, which is called Little Huckleberry, and they saw a couple hikers. And they got there and they're looking up at where Ethan and Sarah are, and they turned and walked back. And so if you look at this picture, this is about where those hikers would be standing. If you look at that highest flat spot, that's where Ethan and Sarah were standing. And if you can just imagine, those hikers were there and they looked around and they said, oh, this is good enough. I'm kind of tired. It's not really worth it. But from Ethan and Sarah's point of view, they're up there saying, no. You got to come up here. It'll be worth it. The pictures are amazing. The breeze is even better. The view is spectacular. Come one more mile. I promise it will be worth it. Well, when you read verse 39 of chapter 10, and you bridge into chapter 11, verse 1, this is the picture or the idea that the text wants the readers to grab hold of. I will not turn around and go back down there to my car. I will not turn around and go back down to comfortability. If God is calling me to something better, something more glorious, maybe the hike is tough. Maybe I'm sore. Maybe my shoulders are tired. I'm pressing on because the call is just too amazing to turn back. So kind of with that in mind as the reader, open your Bible and look at chapter 11, verse 1, and please stand with me for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Answer that call and tell them we're about to read something amazing. Verse 1 says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would take this text and that you would captivate our hearts, that you would inspire the people, that you, being a God who knows the circumstance of every person in the room and every person watching online, we believe and we know by faith that you have the power to reach in and speak to our circumstance and make much of yourself and make much of your love for the people and the walk of faith that you're inviting us to. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. So now let's step into verse number 1. And let's be clear, verse number one is kind of hard to understand. Verse number one is kind of interesting with the play of words, but it's not a definition. Verse number one is more of an invitation to understanding what faith looks like when it's applied to our lives. So let's talk about it. When you look at these words that are underlined, the word hope for or the words not seen, verse number one is wanting us to ask the question, in light of what I just read in chapter 10, what is it that I should be hoping for? What is it that I haven't seen, but I should be hoping for because of what God has said about this invitation to walk by faith? Well, when you look back at verse 34, if you were to circle hope for and not seen and draw a line to verse 34 where it says an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven, that's something we haven't seen, but that's something we're told to hope for. And you think of this. The author of Hebrews is reminding the church of a time when their walk of faith caused them to suffer and lose most of everything good that they possessed. But they were ministering to the author of Hebrews while he was in prison, probably several guys on this team. And so by continuing to walk by faith, in light of what they had lost, he says, you were hoping for something. You were looking to something that you haven't seen, but you knew was there. Something in heaven. And so when you move to verse 35 and he says, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. How many of us have ever seen a reward in heaven? It's something we can't see, but it's something that's to inspire our walk of faith on those difficult days. On those days when maybe, today being Mother's Day, when parenting is tough. I've never met a mom that said every day of parenting was just so easy. I don't know what the big deal is. And so maybe if all the kids would be honest, some days are pretty tough being mothered, right? Maybe there's some tough days for you just being mothered and just listening to what mom said. And so the picture in Hebrews 11:1 is saying this. On those hard days, what do you want to do? You want to give up. You're tempted. The flesh says, it's too hard. Just give up. Just give in. Just turn and go back. And the text is saying, no. Faith teaches you to hope for something that you haven't seen. Because when you look at verse 36, it says, look, after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Faith teaches us to hope for a promise that we've never seen. Faith teaches us, verse 37, to continue to look forward to a Jesus who's coming back. Now put this together. We have faith in a gospel message that's already happened in the past. Did you see Jesus die on the cross? And did you see him rise from the dead? I certainly didn't, and you certainly didn't. But our faith is in something that we haven't seen. And because of that, we see the evidence of the early church that they were willing to be martyred rather than to deny the faith, which tells all of us they saw a real resurrected Jesus. No one is going to die for a lie. No one's going to steal his body and go hide it and now go live for this gospel message that really isn't true. And now when you're spearing me and crucifying me upside down or burning me alive, I'm just going to go through with it. It's just all made up anyway. No one would do that. So as the church, we look back on a gospel message that we've never seen, but we know absolutely, positively, it's true. And so now the text is saying, just as you look back and you're confident you're saved and going to heaven, the walk of faith is constantly a looking forward to a Jesus coming back that we haven't seen and a celebration that we've not yet experienced, but you know you're going to. So when verse 38 says this, the just shall live by faith, and if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The opposite is also true. I can't see God smiling on your life. We can't see him delighting in you and singing over you. But faith says, although you can't see that, it's happening when you trust God more than your circumstance. So now let's put this together in more of a big picture. The words in the red. Substance. Maybe your translation says assurance or reality. And then the word evidence. Maybe your translation says proof or conviction. So if we put the whole verse 1 all together to talk about what does it mean to live by faith, we could say this. The things that I'm told to hope for are things that I've not yet seen, but I will see. So I live with assurance that these promises God has made will one day be my reality. And not just my reality, but the reality for everyone who follows Jesus. Yes, faith convicts me. It reminds me that my choice of faith in this moment will be worth it. So verse number 1 is meant to inspire the reader to have all the good reasons to never turn back. Let's think of this more practically because it pertains to the future. We all know this. We can't control the future. You know, we sing those songs where we sing a song. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. But most mothers would agree. As a mother, when it comes to the future, when it comes to your child and what's going to happen to your child and what your child's going to do one day, mothers are told that you're supposed to do what? Anybody want to say it? Start with a W. Worry. Mothers are supposed to worry. It's your nature, right? To worry. Now think of this. As a mom, when you're told to worry, what we're really being tempted to do is to say, I can't trust God for the future, so I'm going to worry about it. The future is not seen. I hope it's a good future, but it's not seen, so I'm going to worry about it. Maybe by worrying about it, somehow it'll change the future and make it go better for me. But when we step back and really think, most moms would agree, I want my child to grow up and to trust Jesus and to follow Jesus and to live a good life and to do and become and be all that God wants him to. Most any loving mother would want that for her child, right? But think, if we live in worry and we live in fear about an unknown future, even though we know the ultimate future of being with God one day, if we worry about a future that we don't know about, then what we're doing is we're giving our child the best example of becoming the very thing we don't want. And that's learning how to not walk by faith. It's giving them an example of a life that doesn't walk by faith, but worries and doubts and fears and, oh, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm just so upset. But when you flip that and we put verse 1 into practice and your child is going back into the surgery room for double lung transplant, when you're kneeled down beside a friend or a family member, maybe in the nursing home, maybe in the hospital, when you're faced with a financial crisis and you just don't really know what's going to happen with it or with the future of your job or your situation, when we as a people and when you as a mom say, you know what? This is a circumstance, but my God has given me a book of how he is much bigger than these circumstances. So what we're going to do is we're going to look to him. We're going to pray to him. We're going to ask for his wisdom. We're going to ask for his guidance. We're going to ask him to make a way when there seems to be no way, and whatever the result comes out, we're going to praise him. You are giving that child the best chance possible of growing up with memories of saying, that's what faith looks like. That's the life that I want to live because I saw it. I saw it hand in hand in my home. And you know what? As a church, we could agree about that makes sense. When we step out of these doors and we go into the world, we would all agree. It's a rare thing to see people living by faith. But what if the children of this church could grow up? And while it's a rare thing in the world, the children of this church could say, you know what? It was the norm amongst my church family. I watched this family go through this, and that person face this, and I saw this one go through this. And they just trusted God. They sang about him. They talked about him. They praised him in the valley, and they praised him on the mountain. that would ingrain testimonies and memories in the life of the young men and women that grow up in this church. And I just got to be honest, that gets me fired up. That just tickles me to death. And isn't it interesting that verse number 2 now says this? For by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony, just like that mom. Verse number 2 is now setting us up for the rest of chapter 11 to really just say, for the rest of this chapter, we're going to look intently at the lives of people who have broken stories, who have sinful pasts, who made mistake after mistake, just like I have and just like we have. And they have regrets and they have bad memories, yes. But they learn to trust God more than their circumstance. They learn to find their identity in who God is and what God says about them rather than what's happening in the world. And they have obtained a good testimony. So I couldn't help this week but think about the story that Ethan read last week in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. When God sent those spies into the promised land, and those 12 spies went in and they came back carrying those huge grapes, but they came back and 10 of those 12 spies says, man, there were giants in the land. They were as big as grasshoppers. They were scary. But there were two other guys that completely disagreed. Now, Joshua and Caleb. How was it that Joshua and Caleb saw the exact same thing that the other 10 did, but had a totally different report? Faith. Faith gave them a different vision. Joshua and Caleb looked at those giants and said, look, look, you see what God did to Pharaoh and his army? Do you see what God did with the Red Sea? Who are these guys? Faith allowed them to see beyond the circumstance and to see victory in the God that they were serving. And so Joshua and Caleb have a good testimony. Or maybe let's encourage you this way for Mother's Day. By the woman that God chose to be the mother of Jesus. I'm obviously not a girl, so I can't really imagine what it would be like to be young, to be a virgin, never been with a man, and to not be married. And Gabriel says, look, God chose you to bear the child, the Messiah, and you're going to give birth to him. And you're like, huh? I mean, really? All the things that would run through your mind are unimaginable. But if we could sum up the testimony, the good testimony of Mary, I think we would all agree. She was a woman of faith. She was a woman that simply took God at his word. And she responded and she said this. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. In other words, my faith tells me my identity in light of this circumstance hasn't changed. I am a servant of the Lord. So then her faith dictated her response to the circumstance that Gabriel just told her. Let it be to me according to your word. It's so practical, and we would agree. Now that just makes sense. Gabriel told her a message from God and she said, okay, I trust God, this is going to be kind of weird and awkward for everyone else. But for me, I am going to trust God. And so she became a testimony and an encouragement to all of us. So how does verse 3 bridge into all this? Maybe when we get to chapter 11, verse 3, I could say, or someone that's here today might say, you know what? That sounds really good for Mary and Joshua and Caleb. That sounds good for most church people that grew up in the church and have been well taught and well trained. But I don't really understand how God could do that in my life. I don't really understand how I could one day have a testimony that could be a help to someone else. And all over this room are men and women, young and old, that would say this. There are people in your life that live by faith. And you know, and I know, if God hadn't have put them in your life, there's no telling where your life would be. Because God used their testimony. And even at the time, you didn't really understand it. But you saw the way they lived. You saw the way they responded to a crisis. You saw the purpose in which they lived their life. And you said, man, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand it. But I want it. I want it. And you sat under his wing. You put yourself under her wing and you said, tell me, teach me. I want to know. I want to understand how you trust God the way that you do. And we would say, man, without that testimony, I don't know what direction my life or your life may have went. And so verse 3 now says, I get it. Sometimes people don't understand how that could happen with their life. Well, let me tell you about creation to help with this misunderstanding, to help make sense of what's not making sense. And so verse 3 says, by faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now think of this. The universe, the stars, the planets, the suns, the moons, all the galaxies, there's so much out there. We can't even begin to understand it all. And we can barely understand how it all works together, only because we have a couple science books and some information from satellites. But to really say, how does it all work together? How did it all come together? We would agree, gosh, I don't really understand how this could have happened. And so faith says, a God who is invisible spoke into existence all things that were visible. A God who is invisible took everything, and though we can't see him and we can't see the words coming out of his mouth, he said it and it happened. But science says, no. A long time ago, there was just a bunch of dark stuff. And out of that dark matter, there was this explosion. There was this big bang. And from that big bang, from that explosion, life came out. And colors came out. And powers came out. And living cells came out. And plants and animals and stars and all these things just happened to come into being. Which is so interesting, because every time an explosion happens, whether on Earth or out in the universe, you know what never gets created? Life. Explosions never create life, and they never create order. But creation was given to us to say, man, if God can speak that into existence, what can God speak into my life if I just trust him? Look at the beauty and look at the wonders. And so really, creation is meant to stir our faith in such a way that you and I would say, no matter what discovery science ever makes, it will not shake my faith. I know who God is, and I know who I've believed in, and I know what he has said and what he has done. It can't convince me. So I want you to think of this for a second with this idea of understanding. When God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1, on day 4, God talked about the lights. He talked about the sun, and he talked about the moon and how he put them in there. And verse 17 of Genesis 1 says this: these are lights in the sky to light the earth. So I'll do a little science demonstration for a second and think of this. When you walk outside, maybe you've asked before, hey, why is the sky blue? Any mothers ever been asked that by your kiddos? Why is the sky blue? Well, when we walk outside, what we don't see is these little light waves. Blue light waves travel in small wavelengths. Let me give you an example. When you're going down the road, how many of you hold your hand out the window and you do this? Come on, be honest with me. So, yeah, some adults, thank you. Turn sideways. When you're doing this, what your hand is doing is you're making small waves. So you're doing it really fast, and the top of this wave and the top of this wave is really close together. That's a small wave. Blue light waves travel in small waves. When you stick your whole arm out the window and you're like this and you're loving it, and then there's a mailbox and your mom's like, put your hand back in the car. And then you go by the mailbox and then you're like this, you're making large waves. In other words, you're doing this. And so the top of those waves is here and then it's here. Those are called large waves. Red, pink, blue, and yellow light travels in large waves. So let's make sense of this now. When the sun is shining directly on the earth, those large light waves pass through the atmosphere and hit the earth, and we never see them. Those blue little light waves travel into the atmosphere, and they hit all these miniature dust particles floating all around the atmosphere, and they don't make it to the earth. They just bounce around. So when we step outside and look at the sky, we aren't seeing what's invisible. We can't see those little blue light waves, and we can't see those dust particles it's bouncing off of, but we see the blue as a result of what's invisible. And we say, oh, the sky is blue. But every morning and every evening when the sun is setting, so now here's the earth, and the sun is here, and the sun is shining across the earth's atmosphere, we see a different color. We see, and this picture helps captivate it just a little bit, pink and red and orange and yellow, but it's just for a minute, because here's the picture. When the earth is shining across the atmosphere, those large waves are traveling through the atmosphere, through those particles, and although we can't see the large waves, and we can't see the large waves bouncing through the particles, what we see is majestic. We see just for a moment those light waves becoming visible, although the waves and the particles we can't see. This is meant to just be one of the many parts of creation to cause us to say, if God can create that kind of beauty, if God who's invisible and the Holy Spirit within me is invisible, can make something visibly beautiful like that, what can he do with the one who walks by faith? God, these moments and these colors are meant to cause you and cause me to be like, my God, will you create in me? Will you take my brokenness? Will you take my darkness? Will you take my hurt? And will you shine in me? Will you wave through me colors and splendor and beauty so that my life would be an example of faith to other people? So as we begin to wrap up, go back to this picture of standing below Huckleberry Knob about a mile away. People to your left and people to your right are maybe this close. That person you work with, that person on the team, maybe is this close to walking away from faith. Their circumstances have become too much, and they're just simply saying this: if God is good, I can't see that goodness today. I'm ready to turn back. And as a church, we're sitting here saying, no. Walk with me. Let's do this together. Let's raise our kids together. Let's talk about healthy marriages together. Let's talk about problems together. God has never given us a reason why he's still not good and trustworthy. But what we as a church have to remember is this. Sometimes the path of faith looks pretty simple. If you're a hiker, you're like, oh yeah, it's nothing. But you've been walking with God for a long time and you understand his character. You've been in discipleship groups. You're growing. You're thriving. And when you hit a wall, man, you just plow right through it. And you're just like, man, I'm holding on to Jesus. What's this wall to me? But for other people, this same picture may sometimes look like this. Same picture, different spot. It may look foggy. I can't see Huckleberry Knob. I can't even see the trail. It's covered up and I'm freezing. I'm uncomfortable. For other people, as a church, we want to remember our job is to point them to Jesus and to walk through life with them and to help blaze the trail alongside them, because they're ready at any moment to turn back. The car is warm and it's more comfortable, and they don't see the sunny day ahead. They don't see the glories and the colors and the splendor just a mile away. But we want to be a church that's saying, come on, let's walk by faith together, because the last slide I want to show you is just magnificent. It just puts all this into perspective. One day, our faith will become sight, because when you get up on Huckleberry Knob and you look back down to where this picture is taken, what you can do is you can stand up there behind a cross, and behind that cross, you can look back down at those last two pictures and see that valley, and you can say, okay, it all makes sense. What God has done in the past is what God will complete in the future. I can trust him. And together, we can walk by faith, because from that point of view, walking by faith just makes sense. Let's pray. And Father, that is what we would ask you to do this morning. Take your word and take our lives the confusion that is perhaps being experienced now and the dark days that lie ahead or even now and the just difficult circumstances, sometimes even the smallest things want to throw our day off. Take those things, Lord, and make small of them, and by making much of yourself, and strengthen this church to be a people who love you and respond to who you are simply by walking by faith, because we agree with you that faith in your Son Jesus makes sense. And one day we know that together we will celebrate the goodness of who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.